Man, the Bible talks about these Hittites. Over 20 times, the Bible talks about the Hittites. There was never, there's not any proof, none, that the Hittites ever existed. And for years, man, they had Christians stoned, right? There's no evidence that the Hittites ever existed. What's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? See, the Bible is not science. The Bible is just a bunch of myths. Look at these mythological people, the Hittites.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of Genuine Christmas Lights, the Prophetic Light. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of Genuine Christmas Lights, the Prophetic Light.
And today we are looking at the prophetic light. The title of our series is The Genuine Christmas Lights. And you know, as I said earlier, there are a lot of artificial lights, but we want to look at the genuine light. And the scripture that we had for this particular Advent meditation was Psalm found in the Psalms. And you know, we see here, it says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." So this morning we are looking at the prophetic light, the light that God has given us to shine on our path so that we know the way that we can walk. So specifically this morning, we want to look at reasons we can and should trust the Bible. Reasons we can and should trust the Bible. Reasons we can and should trust the Word of God. I heard somebody say like this: if you're cold, the Bible will warm you. If you're asleep, the Bible will wake you. If you're backslidden, the Bible will warn you. If you're defiled, the Bible will wash you. If you are disobedient, the Bible will whip you. If you are uncertain, the Bible will witness to you. And if you are unsaved, the Bible will win you. Man, this is it. This is it right here. The prophetic light. This is a genuine light. And because this is a genuine light, people are doing all they can to destroy it. There are people that will tell you that you can't trust it. I was sitting in the sauna at the health club last week, minding my own business, just trying to get my sweat on. And two guys started talking. And one guy said, "Well, we know that the Bible is just contains a bunch of mythology." Now, I'm in here minding my business. I'm just minding my business. So my thing is, show me which one. Where's the mythology at? He couldn't show. He couldn't show me one. He tried to go back to Adam and Eve, but, you know, we broke that down for him. You know, and so there's some people that say the Bible's a myth. Now, here goes one, and I'm not trying to offend anybody this morning, but I hear this a lot in the black community. "Well, that's just the white man's book." What? Do you know that there are all kind of black folks in the Bible? Do you know that there are people of color in the Bible? You know that people of color wrote the Bible? Right? And in the Psalms, it says that Ethiopia shall stretch her hands out to God. So there's a great salvation that's not only for one group of people, but it's for all people. Then people say, "Well, how can you trust the Bible? You know, man wrote the Bible." Well, let me take you back. Now, y'all know I had to go here. Y'all had to go. The Bible must have been written of God and not of men. I would not, if I could, believe a good man wrote it to deceive. And a bad man would not, if he could, proceed to write a book so good. So it must be that God inspired words that souls of prophets fired. This book was not written by man. It might have been transmitted by man, but it was not written by man. And so, as Peter said, we have a more sure word of prophecy. And you know, now, as y'all know, I haven't got rich off of one book. I've written about 7 books, and I haven't got rich off of one book that I've made. So I don't. When I write books, I'm not writing to make money, because I'm going to tell you what. As soon as one of my books hit it big, then Pastor Glaze is going to be in Hawaii with his family, right? Y'all know that, right? As soon as one. But, you know, this is a must-have. And I'm not saying it because I wrote it, but this is a must-have for every believer, because I go through this in this book. I address, and some of it I'm going to be talking about this morning, but I address every issue that can come against the Word of God. You know, every argument that can come against the Word of God. I tell you in here why the Bible is the Word of God. I tell you who wrote the Bible. I tell you how we got the books of the Bible. I go through everything that you want to know about the Bible. And again, I still live at 601 Winterberry. When I hit it big, I'm going to be up. No. So I'm not making any money. So I just want to say that, because some people say, well, you talk about your books. You must want to make some. No, I don't make any money, right? I just break even. Sometimes I don't even break even. But I believe that there's a message here, and it's directly related to what we're talking about this morning. Reasons that you can trust the Bible. The first reason that you can trust the Bible is because the Bible itself claims. And so I know some people are going to say, well, you're just using the Bible to prove the Bible. Okay, well, we're going to start out there, but then we're going to move away from that. Okay, first of all, the Bible claims to be the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, it says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration comes from the Greek word theopneustos, and it means that it's God-breathed. Hence the title of the book, Touched by the Breath of God. That the Bible is a book that has been touched by the breath of God. Why can we trust it? Because it's from the very breath of God. The next reason that we can trust the Bible is because not only is it touched by the breath of God, but even the authors who wrote claims that it's the Word of God. Look at this. Moses, he spoke to the people the words of the Lord. He spoke to the people the words of the Lord. The prophets, what did they say over and over and over and over and over and over again? Thus saith the Lord. Paul said, we speak in words taught by the Spirit, which is God. Peter said that the scripture came as the Holy Spirit moved holy men of God. And John said, our hands have handled the word of life. The Bible contains the very word of God. We thank God that not only does it claim to be the word of God, but we see also as we move on is that it shows you everything you need for life and godliness. Whoo! Whoo! Look. Dr. Phil, Oprah, you know, all these TV counselors and TV psychologists, they can only help you from a human perspective. I mean, their help is good. I'm not going to bash it. I'm not going to deny it. Their help is good. They can help you from a human perspective. But there's no other book that gives you counsel on how to live your life and how to be a godly individual like the scripture does. And so when you think about it, let me go back and read 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look at this, that the man or woman of God may be perfect. That word perfect does not mean that you are absolutely without flaw, but what it means is that you might be mature. that you are equipped to do everything that God would have you to do. We're talking about the prophetic light this morning, the first Sunday of Advent, and we're talking about gifts that God has given us. Man, other than Jesus Christ, my brothers and sisters, the greatest gift that God has given us is his holy word. Do you love the word of God? And notice, Warren Wiersbe, you know, we're studying his book in Romans, right? Roman Wiersbe, commenting on this verse, it says, you know, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Well, what is doctrine? That's what is right. And what? Reproof. That's what's not right. Right? How to get correction. How to get right. And instruction in righteousness. How to stay right. How to stay right. That's what I want a book. I mean, it's good to read Harry Potter and all that. No, some of that stuff is not good. So I'm just going, you know, because we got witchcraft. So I got to be careful what I recommend from the pulpit, right? But some of that stuff, you know, you don't want to mess with. You want to leave alone. But you know, some of the other stuff is good to read. But I'll be honest with you. If I have a choice, this is just me, right? This is just, I'm not bashing anybody else. I'm not putting anybody else down. This is just me. If I'm on... take my time to read something. I want to read something that's going to tell me what is right, what is not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. Praise God. Praise God for his gift that he has given us that tells us how we can do these things. Why I can trust the Bible. If you go on to that next one. Why I can trust the Bible. Because the Bible explains the origin of important matters, right? What other book explains the origin of some of the key things that we have questions about? I don't know if you read my weekly devotional this week, but the title of my weekly devotional was A Spaceship Lands on Mars, right? And last week, a spaceship landed on Mars, and it landed, and what they're going to do now is that they're going to drill down into the surface of Mars, and they're doing that for the purpose of seeing, if y'all read my devotion, you knew it, you know, they're drilling down for the purpose of seeing how the universe began. What connection that Earth and Mars and all these other, how it all began. That's all you got to do is read the Word of God. And it tells you how it began. That one day before breakfast, God stepped out and threw the universe on nothing, spoke it into existence, said, let there be, and there was. And I mean, what other way? What other way explains the, makes sense as far as how the universe came into existence? Now, I did a whole series last year on evolution. A whole series on evolution. And we went through every aspect. So if you don't have that, you might want to get that tape series. Because we went through everything to show you how that evolution anymore is not even a credible or a viable theory anymore. That there are so many holes in evolutions that even evolutionists are admitting that there's things that they can't explain, right? Praise God. I'd rather put my faith in this book than to put my faith in a man who can't even explain his theory. And Darwin, man, Darwin is washed up. The guy, he was off. And besides anything else, not only was he off, but the guy was a racist. And there was racist writings in his theories. So I'm not going to look the man to explain the origin of the universe. But oh, when I read this book, and it says, in the beginning, God. In the beginning, God. That takes care of atheism. It says that there is a God. That takes care of polytheism, because that says there's only one God. In the beginning, God. created the heavens and the earth. And I'm going to throw my hat on that theory. It explains. It explains the universe. It explains the earth. It explains how man got here. There's a poem. I'm doing a book on poetry, and I'm trying to get this to be one of the poems that's in my book. This is called The Monkey's Viewpoint. Three monkeys sat in a coconut tree, discussing things as they're said to be. Said one to the others, "Now listen, you two, there's a certain rumor that can't be true, that man descended from our noble race. The very idea is a big disgrace. No monkey ever deserted his wife, starved her babies, or ruined her life. You've never known a mother monk to leave her babies with others to bunk, or to pass them from one to another till they scarcely know who is their mother. Another thing you'll never see is a monk build a fence around a coconut tree and let the coconuts go to waste, forbidding all other monks to taste. Why, if I put a fence around a tree, starvation would force you to steal from me. Here's another thing a monk won't do. Get out at night and put on a stew, or use a gun or a knife, a club or a knife to take another monkey's life. Yes, man descended, that ornery cuss, but brother, he didn't descend from us." He didn't descend from us. Monkey got more sense than man. God reached down into the dust of the earth, created the first man, blew into his body the breath of life, and he became a living being. You know the story. You know the story about the men that scientists that challenged God to a contest. They said, "We can make a man just like you." And so they were so bold, they told God to go first. "You go first." God reached down, and he created the man, and he blew his breath in. The man became a living being. And then the scientist said, "Okay, we can do that just as good as you." And so he reached down and got the dirt. And God said, "Wait a minute. Get your own dirt." Get your own dirt, right? It tells us the origin of the universe, of the earth, of man, and of sin. It tells us how sin came into existence. The Bible explains the origin of all things, that everything, anything that you can think of, the Bible explains the origin of it. Now, you tell me what other book can explain the origin of everything that's in existence. No other book can do that. We're talking this morning, I came by to remind you about the prophetic light that as we light this first candle of Advent, that we are proclaiming the word of God. Oh, I like this one right here. I like this one right here. I used the term a couple weeks ago, game changer, right? The game changer. I was watching, I had to do the Steelers Chapel last night, and when I got down there, they were watching the Georgia and Alabama game. And as they were sitting down there, Alabama was losing. And, you know, one of the coaches said when Alabama started coming back, he said, "That's a game changer." Because the game completely turned around. And I think Alabama won that game, didn't they? Oh, okay, all right. All right. But the guy, he said, "That's a game changer. Whatever, that's a game changer." To me, right here, this is the game changer. This is, you know what? Because I don't fret anymore. I don't worry anymore, because these three questions in life that everybody has, you might say, "Well, I don't have that." Well, at some point in time, you had it, or you're going to have it. That these three questions are answered from the Bible. Where we came from. You know, that's the big thing, right? Where we came from. Everybody got to think about where we came from. I think I'm going to go to Genesis 2, verse 7 and 18 through 22, where God created man and woman. Why are we here? That's why people who believe in evolution struggle. And that's why there's no... Oh, my goodness. That's why we live in a world where there's no absolutes. Right? I mean, that's exactly why. And the longer we live, the more people say there's no absolutes. And why are they saying that? They're saying it because they don't know why they're here, right? They don't know what their purpose is. They just think that they're here, you know, created out of a pool of water, and that you live your life, and then when you die, you just you just blend back into that pool of water. You blend back into that mass of water. But thank God, I hope that each and every one of you sitting here today, I hope that you know what your purpose is. I hope that you know that you've been created by an almighty God, and that God has gifted you with skills and abilities and talents, and that God wants you to use those gifts, abilities, and talents for his honor and glory. For his honor and glory, all things were created. Then where are we going? You know, where are we going? I have no doubt about the fact that when I close my eyes in death, that I'm going to wake up in the presence of the Lord. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. You know, I remember when I was growing up and I would pray, Lord, I lay me down to sleep. Pray my soul, the Lord to keep. If I should die before I wake, you know, and I'm praying that prayer. And I have no idea where I'm going. And I wonder if I'm going to be with God. What's going to happen to me when I die? I'll tell you what. I'm not saying that all of us should long for death, because, you know, God got a purpose and God got a reason for us to be here. But my brothers and sisters, that's one issue that every child of God should have settled. That they should you shouldn't be trying to think about, well, what's going to happen to me when I die? You shouldn't that shouldn't even be a thought. I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to you. If you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be in the presence of the Lord. You don't have to wonder about that. You don't have to guess about that. It tells you. The Bible answers. The Bible answers important questions. What more important question can somebody have? Well, who am I supposed to marry? Where am I supposed to live? Well, that goes right while you're here, right? Those questions are answered. When you go to the Bible, those are answered right there. Why are you here? And all those things fall into place. Man, I thank God. I thank God for this word, man. I thank God. Man, I have a passion. And my passion is to teach and preach the word of God. You know, for our Bible Institute, you know, we've adopted the slogan on the front, stamping out biblical illiteracy. That's the passion of my heart, that people would know this word. Because I think that in knowing it, if you don't get any more out of these three things right here, man, you've got a lot out of it right there. You found the secret to life if you can answer those three questions. And I know before I came to Christ, I couldn't answer those three questions. I couldn't answer one of them. But thank God, I can answer all three with confidence right now. Why I trust? Why I trust the Bible? It answers life's most important questions. This is a good one. This is a good one. Some people don't believe in God, right? But most people do. And so the question is, what is God like? What is God like? Come on to the Bible. It tells you what God is like in creation.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of Genuine Christmas Lights, the Prophetic Light. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Genuine Christmas Lights, the Prophetic Light, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Genuine Christmas Lights, the Prophetic Light. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Genuine Christmas Lights, the Prophetic Light, or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.